earth with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a haughty high-o silver, the Lone Ranger.
Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor. General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the oat cereal that's ready to eat, Betty Crocker Mixes, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, present by special recording, The Lone Ranger. When the weather's bad, do you and your friends ever hang around the house wondering what to do? Well, I'll bet it happens lots. Well, you know where you can have the most fun? In the kitchen, with a package of the new Betty Crocker Brownie Mix. That's right. It's easy as can be to bake up a big batch of luscious, chocolatey brownies with Betty Crocker Brownie Mix. Everything you need is right in the package. Just add one egg if you like the chewy, fudgy kind of brownies. And two eggs if you want them soft and tender like cake. Add nuts, too, if you like. Either way, Betty Crocker brownies are the gee-I-can't-eat-them-fast-enough kind. Even if you've never baked before, you'll turn out scrumptious, chocolatey, perfect brownies the very first time. And what fun you and your gang will have eating brownies that you bake yourselves. Have Mom get Betty Crocker Brownie Mix next time she shops. Then invite your friends over for some fun. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful mask rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. I'll Silver.
Emmett Branbury, governor of the New Mexico Territory, concentrated on his political career to such an extent that he neglected his growing son, Jerry. One evening, after the governor returned from a long and tedious trip to Washington, his secretary, Glenn Barnett, walked the short distance to the Albuquerque Hotel and entered the cafe through the bat wing doors. The governor's son, Jerry, a tall, strongly built young man of 20, sat at a table playing cards with the cafe owner, Spike Lamar, and two of his men. They all looked up as Barnett spoke.
Good evening, Jerry.
Huh? Oh, what brings you here, Barnett? Snooping on me so you can report to Dad when you send your weekly mail?
Your father is home, Jerry. He arrived on the westbound late this afternoon. Huh? He wants to see you at once.
Dad here? I thought he was still in East.
What's the difference where he is, Jerry? He doesn't pay much attention to you anyway.
Never mind that, Spike. He is my father. Barnett, tell Dad I'll be home later.
He's waiting to see you now.
Sorry, you'll have to wait until I finish this gig.
Well, listen, Jerry.
Never mind the lecture. Go tell Dad what I said. I'll see him later.
All right. I'll tell him just that.
Later, when Jerry arrived home, his father called to him from the study as he passed the door.
Hey, Jerry. Hello, Dad.
Jerry, I want to talk to you. Sit down, Jerry.
Oh, thanks, sir.
I'm trying not to lose my temper with you, Jerry, because this is the first time I've seen you in many months, but I sent Mr. Barnett to the cafe with a message for you. I expected you to come back with him.
Dad, maybe if you'd try to understand...
I understand plenty. I'll not have you mixing with that riffraff at the cafe. Someday you'll follow my footsteps. Hold off it.
No. I'm not the type for politics, Dad. I know what I want to do.
Really? Well, I'm interested. What do you want to do?
I want to run the ranch you own down near Las Cruces.
What?
Dad, my roommate's father owned a big ranch near school. I spent a lot of time there and learned to ride and shoot expertly. I've been on roundups, have ropes and branded cattle,
That's
and I know...
ridiculous. After all the education you've had, you want to be a rancher.
But, Dad, most of the really big ranchers are educated men. And they're sending their sons away to learn scientific methods of breeding and raising cattle.
Jerry, my plans are made. You'll be assistant to Glenn Barnett. He'll teach you the ropes. He's a smart politician.
Maybe he's a smart politician, but to me, he's also a sneaky Eastern dude who...
Stop it! I trust Barnett implicitly. Jerry, I've given you everything. You can't deny that.
Yeah. Everything. Except what a son hopes for from his father.
Yes, what do you mean by that?
Oh, never mind. You wouldn't understand.
Eh?
Dad, if you'll excuse me now.
Very well. I have a lot of work to do. Good night, Jerry.
Good night, Dad.
Later that night, Glenn Barnett, the governor's secretary, knocked on the back door of Spike Lamar's office at the cafe.
Hello, Barnett. Come in. Sit down.
Thanks.
What brings you here tonight?
I overheard the governor talking to Jerry. He plans to have him work as my assistant.
That would be risky. He might find out something.
I know. Nobody knows you and I are working deals together, Spike, though I suspect that gunstick of yours, Frank, is getting wise.
So what makes you think so?
He stopped me outside when I was here to see Jerry earlier tonight and said for a price he'd keep quiet about something he knew.
Frank said that? Why, that dirty polecat outfit.
Wait. The elections are next month. If the governor is discredited, Spike, we'll run you in his place. I know the ropes and I can swing a lot of votes. If you're elected, you'll appoint me to a high office and I'll help you run the territory.
Maybe something.
Right now is the time to make our plans.
I'm listening.
We'll plan a dispute leading to gunplay between the gunman Frank and the governor's son, Jerry. Frank will get shot and Jerry will be accused of his murder. The governor will have to withdraw. Then with my help and backing, you'll be elected. Now Jerry's sure to disregard his father's orders and come here tomorrow. Get him and Frank at a table near a window back in the card room.
Then what?
See that Frank sits facing the window. Make certain they play out one hand between them.
Well?
At the right moment, one of your men standing near Frank will lay an ace on the table saying he found it on the floor. Jerry will think Frank intended to cheat him. He's very hot-tempered.
Yes, so he'll throw his gun, tell Frank to reach for his, and then the governor's son Jerry will be the one to get the bullet. Frank draws and shoots like lightning.
Now, just a moment, Spike. We'll call the play. Your best gunman, Carlos, will be already outside the open window. He'll shoot Frank before Frank reaches for his gun. We'll be sure he's out of the way, and Jerry Banbury will be accused of his murder.
But the bullets in Jerry's gun will prove he didn't fire the shot.
I can get to Jerry's gun tonight. I'll see to it there's a used cartridge in the first chamber of the barrel. After tomorrow, Spike, the governor will be finished, and we'll be on our way up.
The following afternoon, when Jerry Banbury appeared at the cafe, Spike invited the young man to play cards with him and the gunslick Frank. He managed to seat the two men according to Glenn Barnett's instructions. Only the one table was occupied in the card room. Spike purposely played a poor game, and soon the pile of cash grew in front of Frank as the governor's son consistently lost. Finally, Spike threw down his cards and pushed back his chair.
Oh, cut me out this time. Play is between you two, hombre.
I'm raising you 100, Banbury.
Well,
hey,
I...
Hey, Frank. Here's a card you dropped.
What? Another ace. How could you?
Hey, I didn't drop that.
He picked it up from the floor beside you. You've been cheating me. This gun says I'm taking back what I lost.
Why, you sneaking...
Oh. Jerry, you shot Frank.
Hey, what's happening there?
Frank's done for. He didn't have a chance.
His gun still holstered.
Well,
I didn't pull the trigger.
Cover him, man.
All right.
I'll send for the sheriff. Jerry Banbury just committed murder.
Later, Tonto, Indian companion to the Lone Ranger, pulled to a stop at a camp in the hills near town, where the masked man was waiting.
Oh, Scout, open up. Easy, Scout.
You've been riding fast, Tonto. Something happened in town?
Ah,
fella get killed in card game at cafe. Then say, son of governor, one who kill him.
Jerry Banbury, a killer?
Ah.
Doesn't seem possible.
He masabi. Him fella Dan Reifbaut from school.
Yes. Jerry was an upperclassman at Dan's school. Dan was very helpful to Dan when he started there. I've met the boy a few times when I had business at the governor's mansion.
Young Banbury swear him not pull trigger.
I'd like to get all the facts. If the charge of murder against Jerry stands, the governor will be finished and his son will be hanged.
The Lone Ranger was greatly disturbed. He thought for a few moments, then spoke.
Otto, it may be more than a coincidence that this has happened just before elections. You think there's any possibility the boy was framed?
Maybe. But it happened in back room of cafe. And plenty men here shot. Jerry, hold gun. Dead man not have chance to draw.
All right, Tonto. I'll remove my mask and disguise my features. Then we'll ride into town and find out everything we can about that killing.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
Cowboy Tom is a boy of six. He knows all kinds of cowboy tricks. He can rope a steer because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
You bet. Cheerios, the oat cereal that needs no cooking. Every delicious spoonful of Cheerios and milk is real muscle-building food. Each spoonful contains vitamins, minerals, and proteins your body needs. Yes, the good things in a Cheerios breakfast do good things for your body. Help you have healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. And besides giving you go power, Cheerios is downright wonderful tasting. That toasted oat flavor is really something. And when you add milk and your favorite fruit, say some sliced bananas, you're in for a delicious breakfast treat. Get the whole family off to a good start every morning with Cheerios. Then you'll hear people say,
he's feeling his Cheerios.
To continue. It was dusk when the Lone Ranger, to all appearances a well-to-do rancher, rode into town with Tonto and dismounted at the Albuquerque house. Tonto waited outside while the Lone Ranger entered the cafe and by adroit questioning learned all the details, including the seating positions of the men at the card table near the side window of the back room. He soon rejoined Tonto outside and led him into the shadows between the buildings.
Why he comes here, Kimasabi?
I want to look at the ground near the side window of the back room. Oh, that's the window. Strike a match, Tonto.
Ah.
Look.
Ah. Footprints. A fella crouch under window. Maybe 2-3 hours ago. You see? Toe mark. Deep, heavy. Heel marks. Like.
I'll strike another match. Yes, the footprint shows someone left here and went to the back of the building.
And footprints show fella run, Kimasabi.
Let's follow them.
Ah.
The footprints led to the back door of Spike Lamar's office. The Lone Ranger was silent a moment, then said,
Otto, I believe Jerry was framed, but we must prove it.
That's not easy. And what we do?
Spike Lamar, the third player at the table this afternoon, is the cafe owner. The footprints lead to his office door. Otto, I have a plan that may work. There'll be some risk for you.
Me do it. What's your plan?
You know Lamar by sight?
Uh-huh.
Good. Now listen closely, Tonto. This is what I want you to do.
A short time later, Tonto entered the cafe, and acting like an Indian not used to mixing with white men, moved furtively through the crowd, then stopped and spoke hesitatingly to Spike Lamar, asking for the sheriff. He told Spike he had seen a man crouched at the window at the time of the murder and wanted to tell the sheriff. Spike, realizing the Indian knew too much, offered to give the sheriff the message and told Tonto to go back to his village. As the Indian left to get his horse, Spike called to his gunman, Carlos.
Carlos! Carlos!
Si, senor.
Get out front quick. An Indian will be mounting to the hitch rack. He saw you at the window this afternoon. Follow him.
You'll know what to do.
Caramba, I'll get right at you.
A bright moon was shining, and in the shadows near the edge of town, the Lone Ranger, once again wearing his mask, waited on Silver. Soon he heard fast hoofbeats and saw Tonto pass on the trail. A few moments later, another rider rode hurriedly after Tonto.
Someone following Tonto. My plan is working. All right, Silver, we'll follow them. Come on, boy.
Carlos moved up behind Tonto. He saw the Indian look back.
I get him.
Then as Carlos threw his gun...
This is the man Spike wants to get rid of, Tonto. But Spike's idea to send him after you.
This fella knows too much.
We're wasting time. We have Spike's orders.
Caramba, it's fully double cross. I do not savvy.
Simple enough. The law is wise to the fact that young Banbury was framed. If you're picked up, you'll talk. So it's better for Spike if you're out of the way.
No, no, wait, mister. Listen, Spike forced me to do it. He said he would have me killed if I did not wade to the window and shoot Frank. The whole thing was planned by him and the hombre who works for the governor.
Now we have what we want, Tonto. He fell for our little trick.
Trick? You mean you do not work for Spike?
That's what I mean. We'll take you back to the sheriff's office.
You are helping the law. You did trick me.
Right. Perhaps if you tell the sheriff what you know, it may help you. You'll have a chance with the law. But if you decide not to talk, you'll hang while Spike and his partner go free.
No. No, I shall not take all the blame. I'll tell everything.
Good. Let's go.
Later at the sheriff's office, the governor paced the floor as he spoke bitterly to his secretary and the sheriff.
I can't believe my son could do such a thing.
Hey, what the... Mask on,
hey, I'll... Sheriff, I know that man. He's a friend. One I'm glad to see right now.
Good evening, Governor.
Good evening.
Why you got your gun on Carlos?
He'll tell you.
Governor, I'll go back to the...
Stay where you are, Barnett. Now, Carlos, talk.
I killed Frank.
Carlos told the details of the frame-up. The governor and sheriff listened in amazement. When Carlos finished, Glenn Barnett suddenly drew a gun from under his coat.
I'll not let this lying Mexican involve me in this case.
Hold it!
My thunder, Governor, this means your son is innocent.
Thank heaven. It also means I'll not have to withdraw from the elections.
Which means more to you, Governor? Your son or your ambitions?
Gray,
Sheriff, I suggest you put these two men into cells. Have your men bring in Spike Lamar.
Yeah, sure.
The sheriff and Tonto took Carlos and Glenn Barnett back to the cells. The Lone Ranger, alone with the governor, spoke.
Governor, I wish I had your permission to forget your high office for a few moments and to talk to you man to man.
Listen to whatever you have to say, sir.
In pursuing your ambitions, you've forgotten your duties as a father. Have you talked to Jerry?
No, I was too bitter to face him.
You failed him again when he needed you most, sir. A growing boy needs discipline, yes, but he also needs advice, encouragement, and the affection of his father. You gave faith and trust to your secretary while you neglected your son.
Yes, I admit you're right.
Have you ever had a heart-to-heart talk with Jerry?
No, I haven't had time.
Governor, it's a father's duty to take the time and his privilege to help mold the character of his boy so that he'll be a worthwhile citizen. Others can fill your position as governor, but no one can take your place as Jerry's father. I'm sorry to be so outspoken, sir.
You have my heartfelt thanks, sir. I needed and deserved to hear what you said. Let's go see my boy.
A few moments later, the governor and the Lone Ranger entered Jerry's cell.
Dad. Why?
It's all right, son. I've come to take you home.
Home?
Yes, Jerry. You've been proved innocent. Governor, I'll leave you with your son.
While the governor and his son had a heart-to-heart talk, Spike Lamar was brought in and jailed. Later, Jerry stood beside his father in the sheriff's office. Jerry was saying,
Dad, this is the first time we've ever had an understanding talk together. No matter how busy you may be from now on, I'll know you're not keeping me out of your life.
Son, now that we've found each other, I don't want to leave you. I'll tell you what. You come with me while I make my final election speeches around the territory. Then I'll spend some time at the ranch watching you learn the ropes. How about it?
Oh, Dad, that's fine. You really mean you'll allow me to learn ranching?
Yes. And the sooner the better if you hope to take over and run our ranch someday. You're a good judge of character, sir. You hit the nail on the head about Barnett. You would make a good politician.
And it.
But a far better rancher, I'm sure.
Well, Governor, the foreign Barnett confessed everything.
Yes?
In a way, it's a good thing this happened. You found out about Barnett.
Thanks, my dear friend, the Max man. The truth came to light more ways than one. I was sorry to see him in front of Lee.
Oh, Dad, you haven't told me who that masked man is.
Jerry, son, he's a man the whole country can be proud of. He's kind, clever, and strong, and with a deep, abiding faith in God and country. I sincerely hope, my boy, that you'll grow at least in a small way to be like the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger, a copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, is produced by Pendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Boyd. Listen to the Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.